This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh. Yes, it is. It's Friday 2:07, and we are happy about that. Beautiful day outside. And if it's Friday and you're wrapping up your work day, on a day like this, I bet you you're thinking about going home and sitting on that beautiful backyard deck customized by Artistic Decks for you. It is an absolute dream of so many people to have that dream space. It expands the living area of your home. And we are excited to have Artistic Decks, partners of ours here on the Annie Fry Show, Artistic Decks, the owners, in here to play X's and O's. So Victoria and Derek, thank you for being in here today.
A pleasure.
There we go. Let's get your mics on.
Yeah, we got to turn on, right?
All good. It's great to be partnering with you. And right now we've got the weather is like pristine.
Starting to kick in, isn't it?
For sitting outside and enjoying that deck. And my understanding is if people are able to call and get in line, that you still are doing decks this summer.
We're getting there. Definitely call soon. We're starting to fill up a little bit, but at the same time, always looking for new clients, and we'll definitely get you in by late summer, worst case scenario right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, call now. We're running a couple light specials, some giveaways on lights. Definitely best pricing in town.
It is. And they're beautiful. And like I said, they're customized as well. 314-280-0821 is the number to call. 314-280-0821. You guys have decades of experience here in the area.
Decades.
That's a good play on words, right?
Yeah, it's just, I didn't even know that I did that when I said the word decades.
Caught it though.
Decades of experience of making people's experience in their backyard actually livable. A deck can transform a home so much.
A whole other living space. You know, picture your living room. Most living rooms are between, you know, 150 to 200 square foot on a nicer size home. On a deck, you put that out back, it's a whole other living space in the same dimension.
Yeah.
And makes it very cool. It brings your whole backyard to life. If you need a new deck, now's the time to do it. Prices aren't going to get any cheaper.
Yeah.
So this is now, and summer is upon us.
All right. Well, if you want to give them a call, 314-280-0821. You can also look them up online and see some of the beautiful decks that they've already constructed at artisticdecks.net. X's and O's. We haven't done one of these in a while. We're excited to have you guys in to play.
I'm scared.
That's okay. You should be scared of Ryan. He's very scary. Yeah. He's very frightening. Huge
and
Michigan
he's
Spartans fan.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you didn't know how bad this was going to be.
Yeah.
Ryan, why don't you take it from here and set up the game so the listeners at home as well as our guests understand how it works.
Okay. It's been a few weeks since we've played X's and O's. So the way that this happens is we have a drummer that comes in here real soon. It makes things feel very, very intense.
All right.
Well, there he is. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. There we go. There he is. All right. So you have a tic-tac-toe board up in the studio here, numbered 1 through 9. So each square has a number corresponding with a question that I will give you. And Derek, right?
Sure. Yes.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So you will be, I think we have O's for you.
Right.
And Victoria will be X's. Derek, you will pick any square to start, And then you'll have to pick Annie or Brad to answer the question for you.
Okay.
You simply agree with Annie or Brad for the square.
All right, let's do five.
All right, going right down the center.
Right.
Good choice.
And who is going to answer this question for you?
Well, let's do Brad.
I'm ready.
Brad. All right, here we go. The new Pope will go by the name Leo the Fourth. This is a hard week, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, you're welcome. That will go by the name Leo the 14th and was selected on the conclave's second day. What percentage of the cardinals did he need to secure for the papacy? Was it half plus one, 51%, two-thirds majority, or a unanimous vote?
Man.
What is needed?
Man, my gut tells me to go with a unanimous vote. But then I heard an audio clip today where, like, one of the cardinals was saying, I'll never tell you which way I voted.
Fred Bottomer was in and answered this question.
Yeah. So let's go. What was it? The two-thirds, I think, is what I'm going to go with. Two-thirds.
Two-thirds, Derek.
And that's exactly correct.
That is correct. That's, yeah, you got it.
Dang it. I think we're going to be the dumb ones in the room today. And by that, I mean Brad and me.
Derek was confident.
He's like, let's see how long they stew on this one.
He was ready to go. Come on, Brad.
Good,
let's
I like
get there.
It.
All right, so you go take the center square there if you want to go ahead and mark that.
Let's do it.
You have O's in center square.
And Victoria, you get to pick your square next.
I am going to do number one.
All right, top left.
Number one, who's answering this for you?
Annie.
All right.
All right, Annie and Victoria, you found one of today's audio whoopies. Here's President Trump talking about a third term.
Staying politically viable.
I will say this. So many people want me to do it. Mm-hmm. I have never had requests so strong as that.
He went on to say to Kristen Welker that he wouldn't run again. But the question is, on what network was this?
NBC, Meet the Press, Kristen Welker.
I agree.
Yes.
Boy, that was fast.
Glad it wasn't a Pope question.
I thought a couple of these were a little hard. You guys kind of nailed them.
Yeah.
All right. So you have square number one, Victoria.
Good thing their little icon was in the bottom corner of that clip that I watched.
Was it? I was listening.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That means it goes back to Derek.
Right.
Which square you want?
Oh, yeah, right. The square thing.
Yes.
Let's do two.
Number two.
Top middle.
Okay, top middle. And who's answering for you, Derek?
We'll do Annie.
Okay.
Annie, on Tuesday, we talked about how we voted in the 2016 presidential primary. Trump, Rubio, Cruz. Name any state that Donald Trump did not win in the 2016 presidential primary.
Iowa. Cruz. Iowa.
What year did can I
16?
Oh, 16, yeah.
Right? You said 2016, right?
2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's correct.
Ted Cruz.
Right. Ted Cruz.
I didn't catch the 16 part.
Yeah,
I
when you said that, I'm like, I hope it's 16.
Let me check on that real quick here.
You're going to fact check
yourself
right now?
You're going to fact check yourself.
That's correct. Cruz won.
Yeah. They're right. Go ahead and give yourself the O.
What, you want a recount?
No, you're right. Just making sure.
Yeah, I'm
just
some late
arriving ballots. I don't just making sure they're finished counting.
What did did you think he won Iowa?
It was real close. And that's not on the list of state. Because I pulled this from an article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't list that one, probably because it was a caucus.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute, that still counts.
He didn't win the first
one. So I had to check to be sure.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, you got it. All right. Victoria? Back to Victoria.
I'm going
to
do number 8
for the block.
That makes sense.
Out of middle.
See what happens.
All right. And who's answering this one for you?
Brad or Annie?
Brad or
Annie.
All right. Let's go.
Brad, you guys have the other audio whoopee.
She always gets all the whoopee.
Yeah.
And we'll just go to break.
ArtisticDex.net. Fun people.
All right. This is the audio whoopee. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said they'd be meeting to discuss tariffs with China this weekend.
The Chinese team is traveling through Europe, and they will be in also. So we will meet on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, look, we have shared interest.
In what country will the U.S. and China be meeting this weekend?
I believe it's Switzerland.
Agree or disagree?
I agree.
Here's the answer.
The Chinese team is traveling through Europe, and they will be in Switzerland also.
Yeah.
So
right.
We will meet on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, look, we have shared interest.
I'm a little humbled. I said this was a hard week, and you guys
just for
just
you, Ryan.
Nailing it. Yeah, actually, it was harder
it's
on
hard
me
for you
than it was
for
on
him
you.
To figure out the question.
Yeah, yeah. Was it
Wait
Iowa?
A minute, let me Google that and make sure.
I got a correct answer that wasn't on my list.
All right, technically, it's a primary, but okay.
Right.
All right, back to Derek.
All right, let's go to seven.
Bottom left.
Seven, bottom left.
Yep, bottom left.
And who's answering for you?
Well, go back to Annie.
Okay.
All right, Annie, you have stumbled into AI.
AI.
That means this is a real quote from the week run through artificial intelligence. So the quote's real. It won't sound like the person saying it. Tell me which guest this was on the Annie Fry Show this week.
Oh.
ADD is disqualifying from military service. And I, you know, I've been diagnosed with ADD.
Will Chamberlain.
Will Chamberlain. You're going to have to do some trusting here. Or...
I thought I heard this, though.
Vet her character. Would she deceive you?
But memory, right? So, I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. It's not Will Chamberlain. All right. Here is the answer.
You know, ADD is disqualifying from military service.
It is Will Chamberlain.
Yeah.
I've been diagnosed with
okay,
ADD.
You win.
Even if I were young enough to join the military,
so
they would exclude
square,
me on that
Victoria.
Basis.
Right.
Victoria
so it's
gets
be,
the square.
X.
Number seven.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, look at
now
me.
Now I'm going to block you next time.
Oh, man.
Okay, now,
you
Victoria.
Can win. I set you up for a win.
Where do you want to go?
I'm going to go nine.
Number nine.
Bottom right.
And this would be for the first tic-tac-toe of the game. Yep. And yep. who is your answer?
That would be Brad.
Your expert.
Uh-oh.
All right, Brad.
All right.
We spoke with Taylor Riggs about companies moving operations back within the U.S. borders, and today, Lego announced a massive 2 million square foot warehouse they're opening in Virginia at a cost of $366 million, probably to avoid tariffs.
Okay.
In 2014, Lego gave us the Lego Movie.
Oh, and there's the turn.
With characters like Emmett, Wild Style, President Business, and Lego Batman.
Are you making this up as you ask the question?
No.
It has to be.
He's swinging back and forth like a child.
Tell me who voiced any of those four characters
President?
In the Lego Movie.
Wait, Lego Batman? I think that was Will Forte, but I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with President Business was Will Ferrell.
Agree?
I'm going to agree.
Or disagree? Boy, it's a good thing he said Will Ferrell because that is correct. But Will Forte was not in that movie. It was Will Arnett.
Arnett.
Oh.
So we
got it.
You got it.
You got it.
Oh, you
got it. It.
You got the tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Will Arnett was Lego Batman. Chris Pratt was Emmett.
Chris Pratt was the one I was
I thought that would
that
be the one
was the only name that I knew was Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, you get to go now. So
right.
Which square are you going to pick?
Well, let's pick four.
Yep. Yep, got to go with four.
Seems like the answer.
Okay, and who's answering for you?
We'll go with Brad.
All right.
Brad, you
Since
have...
I got it wrong last time.
I got it right. Yeah. I got it right.
I know. Yeah.
You got a chance still here, Derek.
Oh,
you can tie it.
Now
all right.
Over to the...
Yeah, you got it. You have stumbled into AI.
AI.
Again, another clip that will not sound like the person who said it. Tell me who said this.
That's very important. And we feel very comfortable with that because it's been a great ally. Truly one of our great allies. A lot of people say our greatest ally.
A lot of people say. That's
what?
The dead giveaway.
Oh, my God.
Man, I think that's President Trump.
Do you?
Yes,
yeah, I'm
President
have to
Trump.
Say for sure.
Here is who actually said that.
And that's very important. And we feel very, very comfortable with that because it's been a great ally. Truly one of our great allies. I mean, a lot of people say... Our greatest ally.
A lot of people say that's the giveaway.
100%.
All right.
All right.
So we have an O in square four, which means that really the game kind of comes down to this square, doesn't it?
It does. One left.
We got two left, but this is really the key one, isn't it?
Victoria, you want three or you want six?
I want six.
You want six.
Number six.
Yeah. To the block. You pretty much get it wrong. It's a tic-tac-toe.
It's a tic-tac-toe.
And then it'll come down to total squares, so.
Yep. Right. So if you went up there.
He's loving it.
Why don't you take three instead?
He's talking me into stuff.
Six.
All right, number six, and who's answering?
We're going to go with Annie.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Annie.
Okay, Annie. Pope Leo XIV is the head of the Catholic Church as of yesterday, May 8th, 2025. And we'll just stop. You answer, so we have to stop there.
Okay.
In our lifetimes, we have seen Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, and Pope John Paul II. Give me the year any one of them were elected.
2025 count?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. 2024. I like my clients.
Adah.
What?
Were any of those popes, Pope Francis, Benedict, or Pope John Paul II, elected pope in 2024?
No.
Yeah, correct.
No, that's correct.
Ding, ding, ding. I think it's 91 was...
Yeah, you guys seem to know your Pope stuff.
I'm Catholic. Yeah. He's not.
Pope Francis was 2013.
Yeah.
Pope Benedict was 2005.
Oh, okay.
And Pope John Paul II was 1978.
78, yeah.
I'm getting confused with when the Pope came to St. Louis.
St. Louis.
I feel like I was in fourth grade. So it was like 93, 94?
I thought it was later than that. I would have said 97 or 8.
Mm, maybe. I don't know.
All right, one square left. Now we have to just complete the board.
Well, if he gets it wrong, it's a tie game.
There's no tic-tac-toe.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was looking at it wrong. All right.
Yeah, it's just about the
ball. If he gets it right, though, he has another tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
All right, so number three for Derek.
Can he pick either of us, or is it?
Yeah, we're both available.
Okay.
Flirt. Flirt for it.
No.
Hold it.
Who do you want to answer, Derek?
Brad or Annie?
So she's...
Either way.
Yeah, right. Let's go, Annie.
Okay.
All right, Annie. This week, President Donald Trump met with the new Prime Minister of Canada to talk tariffs and friendship. What is the first and last name of Canada's new Prime Minister?
Mark.
I specifically asked this for you.
I remember his first name now. I don't remember his last name.
Derek, you know it.
Do you know it? Mark.
I know Mark. It's what I know.
I know it. Mark Carney.
Is it Carney?
I'm 100% sure it's Carney, and I'm 82% sure it's
I think it's Mark. I think.
Mark Carney.
I'm going to say yes. We're going to say yes to Mark Carney.
Yeah.
You got it. You got it.
Whole thing.
You had the last name, and I had the...
Yeah, there you go. We
you got
All
it.
All right, put one more X on the board. Good job, guys. Oh. Now, you got to come back and throw it down again, and we'll have you back, and you can play one another time.
All right, now we're good at it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
you guys nailed it. Well, Artistic Decks is there to take your phone call to build the deck of your dreams.
It
is affordable. It can happen this year. You can be sipping lemonade, or let's be honest, margaritas on your deck at your home, inviting your friends over, or telling everyone to go away and enjoying the quiet space and the warm breeze and the nice sunshine yourself. 314-280-0821. 314-280-0821. ArtisticDecks.net. Derek, anything else you want to add to it before we let you go?
Sure. Call now. Free consultations, free deck designs. All that is included in the price. There's no additional pricing when you get the bid. The number, it is what the number is. Call today. Got a bunch of different specials going on and some of the new decking that's coming out currently. So that's, now's the time.
Reliable, customized, and you're working with good people, and that's what matters the most. ArtisticDecks.net. Victoria, Derek, thank you.
A pleasure.
Congratulations on your win, Derek.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I win either way, right?
You do. That's exactly right. All right, let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show after this. Don't go away.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, how many siblings do you have?
One.
Brad?
Two.
I have two. I am the middle. I have an older sister and a younger brother. Do you believe much of what is said about birth order? Kind of like, are you a typical, Ryan, you're the oldest of two? Are you the typical oldest child?
Kind of. I think birth order does matter. I don't know if it's a predetermined cause of everything, but...
What about you, Brad?
I am the oldest, and yes, I fit that stereotype quite well.
Well, I'm the middle, and everybody wants to... anyway. So, if you're the firstborn child, this is according to a Yahoo article. It says, according to Adler's theory, the firstborn child initially gets more attention and one-on-one time from their parents, and as parents are just getting the hang of parenting themselves, they might also be more strict with their older child. So you have twins as your oldest, correct, Ryan?
Yeah.
And how much age difference is there between your son and daughter twins?
Almost exactly 3 years.
And then your son?
Yeah.
There's a 3-year difference.
10, 10, and 7.
Do you feel like you'd seen some things after raising twins and then having one son 3 years later?
It was easy. It was so easy.
Is it because of the multiples?
Yeah. Well, I think so. I mean, that's the only experience I've ever had, but... Yeah, it was, after having two, having one more was like, oh gosh, we could do this with our eyes closed.
Did you?
I think so. Yeah, our youngest has suffered for it. We are definitely less strict with him, though.
That's kind of the natural question, and I think about that with mine. So I have four kids, and their ages are 15, 12, 9, and 3, and... They all are in their own phase of life. They're not sharing phases. I would bet, I mean, obviously your twins share every phase of life. Being a boy and girl probably helps with a little differentiation, of course. But is your son that's 3 years younger, is he in a different phase of life so far all the time? Or is he doing older things sooner because he has siblings who are doing those things?
Yes, he's doing older things sooner. And he's just not ready for it, but... We do kind of, that's the weird thing is, we apply the same rules to all the kids.
Yeah, that you wouldn't have applied to them years younger.
Like, oh, their bedtime's all 9 o'clock now. Well, a couple years ago, it was 8:30 or 8 or whatever. And now he's at the same age, he's getting the benefit of having the later time. And there's a lot of stuff like that.
Would the 8 o'clock bedtime with your twins, was that as much for you guys as it was for them, though?
No, as they've gotten older, okay, I need sleep. I just need it to function. My wife does not. So, oddly, two of our three kids are like her, but they just don't seem to need as much sleep.
Which ones?
My daughter, who is a twin, and my youngest don't seem to need as much sleep.
Is your oldest son just like you?
In that sense, he is. And in a lot of ways, he is. He is not as... My youngest son and my daughter are much more entertainment focused, and he's more achievement driven. I'm both, so he gets that from me. But he needs sleep bad. So there are times that he sleeps in the same room as his brother that we're like, Sinjin, you go to sleep. River, you can hang out for a little bit. And Sinjin's kind of like,
okay.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
Firstborn children may be high achievers, conscientious, controlling, bossy, reliable, responsible, and organized. You guys both said you're firstborn. Mm-hmm. Disagree with any of those?
No.
I don't think I'm as bossy.
You get bossy. You can be bossy.
Okay.
Am I? I'm a firstborn. Am I bossy?
No.
Not even think so.
High achiever?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
High achiever. I am fairly organized. Did that say achievement driven? Did I say
high achievers?
High achiever. Okay.
Yeah, I think controlling and bossy. I think both of those things. Those are written in ways that sound on the surface automatically negative. And then it's kind of like, what's the intention when that skill is delivered and what's the reception of that skill? And I think that's where like age and experience kind of takes this this understanding that I'm not an oldest, I'm not a firstborn. So, but in putting myself in this position, it's like, I know how this needs to be done. I know the things that need to take place and I know the steps to get there. So I'm going to take control of the situation, and if I'm surrounded by people who don't know what I know, then I'm going to facilitate said process so that the job gets done. Now, you can do that in a bossy, witchy way, or you can do it in a leader-like way. But I think that when it says controlling and bossy, I'm not looking at that in a whole sense as a negative thing. But it's like a take charge and drive.
Yeah, I mean, that's also who you are. You just take everything, you kind of put a positive spin on it.
Me?
That's what you just did. Yeah. It's not bossy in a negative way. You know, I just got to put a positive spin on this.
If you're the middle child, middle-born children may be peacemakers, sociable and outgoing, people-pleasers, and competitive. I feel like I dip into the negative things of what firstborns are doing. Like, this is... I often find that middle children are categorized in kind of bipolar types of ways. You know, like the memes that go around, oh, it's middle child day. Nobody noticed. Have you seen those before?
No. The algorithm knows you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It says, according to Adler's theory, middle children are often the peacemaker between their older and younger siblings. They can also be people pleasers. Sometimes middle children can be rebellious as they want to stand out from the younger and older child. I was definitely the latter part of that. I was never the person in my family who was like, let's all come together and yeah, see the best in each other.
That's a middle child characteristic?
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's not you. And I mean that very nicely.
Please don't hurt me.
I just want everybody to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a middle child. My brother's 8 years younger than me, though. So there's a pretty big age gap.
That's almost like an only.
Yeah.
So if I'm not... the peacemaker, what am I?
I would say...
Resolution.
Yep, that one. I'd say resolution. That's the same thing, isn't it?
Not necessarily, because sometimes just resolutions... Not,
it's basically saying, I'm the peacemaker, but without the peacefulness.
No, it's like, yeah, well, that would be an arbitrator.
Yeah, well, like, when I an look arbiter? At this, the important thing is to get to a resolution and to find an end to the conflict. And sometimes that means you're like, all right, guys, because Peacemaker has this, all right, everybody come around, we give a hug and that sort of thing. And sometimes it's everybody get over here and do what you need to do so that we can get this thing solved. And, you know, like Peacemaker carries with it that kind of softy, wishy-washy kind of attitude. And I wouldn't say Annie is a softy or a wishy-washy person. I think she's very resolute in her beliefs and thoughts and ideas. But she is definitely one who wants to come to a resolution on conflicts
sooner than later. Let's just move on.
Do you want to move on past conflicts because you're uncomfortable in them, or because you're just like, no, this needs to be solved, I need to do it?
One, they are a waste of time if they're resolvable.
Okay.
Like, if there is a conflict that exists between me and another person and it's based on misunderstanding, then if you clear the air and you can resolve the problem, why wouldn't you do that? And most people don't do that because it involves confrontation in order to get on the other side where there's resolution. That confrontation does not bother me if I feel honestly that the other side of the confrontation is a resolution for myself and hopefully the other person involved. Like, what is the resolution? Is it resolving a relationship with somebody? If you know, if I am in a conflict with another person or like a family or something like that, I am going to ask myself, what is the conflict that exists here? And if it is a misunderstanding and I want a relationship with that person or I need to have a working relationship with that person, I absolutely want to clear the air. If they have perceived something about me, I would want to know what that is for an opportunity to offer them my perspective of that, or potentially to simply apologize because what I did, maybe I was unaware that I did something that was upsetting to somebody, or maybe I was thoughtless. Like maybe it was like a sin of omission where I didn't realize that something happened and I was kind of involved, and boy, I apologize for the way that happened. I did not know, and if I could do it again, I would do it differently. Which is different than saying, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, which is not good. However, if there's a conflict with somebody and you know that person is never going to change, bye. I'm not sticking around for that.
It's a weird thing about getting older is that I would hate conflict so bad that I'd almost do anything to end it. If there was some sort of unresolved issue with somebody. I still believe that, and I will act on it if there's any way to, but I also will just sit in it if I have to. Part of that's probably just that you know from experience that especially if it's somebody close to you, it'll work out and you don't necessarily have to run to solve it right away.
You just quickly have to understand who matters.
Yeah.
And who doesn't. What matters and what doesn't. And once you can be focused on where the boundary lines are as to what matters in life, then you can start talking about like what conflict is worth enduring to get to what end. Because if the conflict only perpetuates more conflict, not worth my time at all.
No, but there are people who are such people pleasers. And I may have been in this category at one time, but I never ran from it. And that I think is really important, that if you are a people pleaser, just own it. Just know that that's the way you are. But don't,
people take advantage of that, though.
Don't run from conflict, though, just because it's uncomfortable. Because mm-hmm. you've got to build that perseverance, because otherwise people will take advantage of it.
Yeah. If you're the youngest child, they may be outgoing, fun-loving, an attention seeker, self-centered, or a risk taker. They say even when siblings are adults, the youngest is always going to be the baby of the family. This means their brothers and sisters may think they're a bit spoiled. And if they're much younger, they might be pampered by older siblings, too. Youngest children may be more likely to take risks to show that they aren't a baby, and they may get away with more, as now their parents have plenty of experience of parenting. Their rules may be less strict, which is what you're talking about, even with your youngest being 3 years younger. My son is 15. Molly is 3.
That's tough.
There are times we're like, where's Molly? Where'd she go? And she'll be like, I'm right here, Mom. We're like, sounds good.
Do you think that makes younger kids, what are the lower end of the age spectrum kids in a family, do you think that makes them bigger risk takers?
I think it makes them, like, I've told Charlie this, who's my oldest. I'm like, we used to just sit and look at you. Like,
right.
All we would do, we'd
he was
get,
completely covered.
We'd get home from work, and wherever you were, that was 100% of our attention. And that's just what you do when you have your firstborn. You just dote. You dress them up in cute little outfits. Boy, I was just saying about my 9-year-old. She loves clothes. She likes fashion. She likes accessories. She likes all of these like super girly things. And she puts together outfits that if my oldest daughter would have put that on to go out of the house, I wouldn't have let her do it. I'd be like, what are you wearing? Why are you doing that? With Evelyn, I'm like, knock yourself out. And Molly, too, like they're expressing themselves. And I'm always asking myself, is this a battle that I really need to be fighting? Wearing that mismatched outfit makes them happy. And if I put them in something that Mom picked out, like what is better because I've done that? Literally nothing. I will pick battles and I will win the battles that I pick. But, you know, with the younger ones, it's just kind of like, is this a life or death issue? Is this a moral compass issue? And if it's not, I always try to go home with the same 4 kids I started with every day. And I tell my kids, I'm always looking for upgrades. So just be good.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the same ones I started with. But I think about that all the time. From 15 to 3, the financial situation we're in, the house we're in right now. I mean, we're not like rolling in dough by any stretch of the imagination. But when Charlie was born, Jared, when we found out we were pregnant, he had just gone back to school and wasn't working. Or no, he was working. I guess that was when he was working at Walgreens as a manager, and he ended up not working anymore so that he could fast track going to school and take as many hours as he possibly could so he could go get his teaching job. And, you know, we were scrimping and saving, and it was a very different existence than we have right now. But now I have four kids and tuition to pay for kids. We have a higher income, but still the expectations, the obligations incrementally increase with one another. But it's just like, I think about myself as a middle child. I think about my sister, who is 3 years older than me, my brother, who's 2.5 years younger than me, and just the lot in life that my parents were in by the time he was going through high school. They were, you know, getting close to retiring, probably at peak earning over the course of their career. This is not the way that we grew up. It's just you can't make things equal. You do have to communicate to the kids, though, like the difference between what mommy and daddy have and are and what you have and are.
Yeah, they usually don't know the difference. We had the same thing where when the twins were born, we were super poor. Now we're super rich. And we live in this giant house. We don't even see the kids half the time. And
houses.
The temptation is to just let the butler raise them. And you can't do that. We have a moral obligation to raise our kids.
What's your butler's name?
Terry.
Terry the butler.
That's weird, because that's Brad's wife's name.
This is a guy.
Hey, Terry.
Anderson. Terry Anderson.
I was waiting for you to say Jeeves.
No.
All right, let's come back with the results of today's YouTube live chat poll. Mark Reardon is in with the round table. That's going to start here in about 20 minutes. So you're going to want to keep it on 97.1 FM Talk. We're excited to be here. Started the show off today with Joe DeVito from Gutfeld, of course, in studio with us. Had a great time with him. Make sure you check out the Annie Fry Show podcast. Go to anniefryshow.com/podcast for more information on all of the things that we cover each and every day. The results of today's YouTube live chat poll next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got a YouTube live chat poll wanting to know who you think among the four of us would have been the best flirt back in the day. Ryan, you said you haven't picked yet.
Well, it was between you and one other person. I told you why I would have picked
you. Is it between you and me? Are you picking you?
No. The other person, and I think I'm going to go ahead and lock this pick in, is Ethan.
As your answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be Ethan. Because Ethan is tall and...
dark and handsome.
No.
Well,
tall and handsome.
He's not the brooding type.
He's a ginger.
He is tall, though, and...
He's
are you not?
He's no.
Red. He's red.
What are you?
Strawberry blonde.
Oh, that's what a ginger would say.
I don't identify as a ginger.
Guess what? You can identify as whatever you want, but bro, you're a ginger.
I am male. I am tall. I am white.
Yeah, fat. Chromosomes
I am not a ginger.
It's an XY ginger over there.
Just called fat.
It's just an XY ginger. It's the way it is. You can't change that about you.
Are you suggesting that men can't be gingers?
Fat.
I thought that's what Brad said.
Yeah, he did.
Call me fat.
He did.
Call me fat?
I said XY
call me a fat
ginger.
No, no, no. Right
I still
before.
Am not really picking up how Brad doesn't have any game. It just doesn't really make sense to me.
Ryan called him fat.
I don't know.
I don't
that
think that happened. I said he was tall. And I just wouldn't commit to handsome. That's
right
as far
before
as
you
I
started
went.
Talking
basically
about
the
jeans.
Same thing.
Can a man call another man handsome? Can you identify a handsome
Absolutely.
Man?
Absolutely.
Who's a handsome man?
Who's a...
Not in this room.
Hugh Jackman.
Yes, he is handsome.
Pierre Turgeon.
Is that hockey
player? Can't think of his name now?
That's so great.
The guy who played Superman.
Henry...
Cavill.
Christian Bale.
Fernando Vigna.
What are you doing?
He's so weird.
He's like Tom Pagnozzi.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
Tom Cruise is better looking today than I think he's ever been.
I would agree with that.
The Doxer jeans thing for Tom Cruise, he looks his age and he looks good at his age. Where there it's just not Hollywood is struggling in this department. How do you not look 20? There's you look 20 and then you look whatever happens next.
Man, there's some memes out there that are weird because they'll put a picture side by side of somebody at an age now, like Tom Cruise at 60, mm-hmm. next to Wilford Brimley at the same age.
And it's like, unbelievable.
Look, these two, this is the same age.
The parents and father of the bride are supposed to be like in their 40s. They look like they were like 80 in there, but it doesn't make sense that they'd be having a young daughter who's getting, you know, of marrying age, probably mid-20s. But they're supposed to be like late 40s.
Yeah. But
Diane Keaton and Steve Martin.
What movie was that?
Father of the Bride.
Father of the Bride. These are weird conversations to have because when you say Tom Cruise is an attractive man, I think Tom Cruise is kind of puffy.
He's no, what?
He's very attractive. I think he looks better now than he ever has before.
Puffy.
Let's see. John on YouTube says, I see Annie as an alpha. As such, I don't believe she would flirt as much as she would just get down to business.
What the
oh,
hell?
Man.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Listen up. I like you. You like me. There's clearly electricity in the air.
That's Brad's game.
Let's get on the dance floor. And let's get to square dancing.
John, you were incorrect on that one.
I think she just skips the dancing.
I met my husband dancing. WT Stim said, I picked Annie, although Ryan seems pretty confident, which is essential for men being a good flirt. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Can men accidentally flirt? Is it intentional every time?
Gosh.
I think I accidentally flirt.
Yeah, I think we could accidentally flirt.
Agreed.
What does it look like when Ryan accidentally flirts?
I think I accidentally flirt a lot. Because I'm just friendly.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And women might interpret that as flirting.
Yeah, I've been told that.
Especially if they
about
want
me?
To interpret it.
Yeah, you.
George on YouTube says, out of the cast, who is the most likely to get into a confrontation? So the antithesis of flirting. Who in here is most likely to get into a confrontation?
Not Ryan.
It's clearly Annie.
Ryan's last.
Why?
I think I've seen you get into
it. It would either be
have
you
you
or Brad
in public.
Where?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Buffalo Ooh. Wild.
Did you get into?
What is that? Was that after the Tyrus event? And
yeah.
It took forever.
Yeah.
Was I rude?
You were right.
That's a yes.
I saw you at the Save Our Smiles rally. Somebody was yelling out of a car as we were walking away.
Did I yell back at him?
Yes, you did.
Was I nice? Was I right?
You were right, yes. Yeah, it was a crazy lib yelling about masks.
Joe says to send you and me, Ryan, to Starbucks to flirt with people.
You guys are going
to
get arrested.
That's not the place I really want to go to.
Hit us up with the results here.
All right, here we go. The results of today's YouTube live chat poll, 195 votes for who would have been the best flirt. I am so disappointed with these results. Annie pulls away with the win, 44%. Oh. Ryan gets 32% of the vote and tied for last.
Oh, that's hilarious.
At 12%.
I'm going to leave this poll up for another 2 minutes and you guys can sort out
people should be ashamed.
The tie.